Take your Bibles, go to Psalm 126. We're going to talk about happy harvesters, what that's all about. This is a great principle that's taught throughout the Bible about sowing and reaping. You will reap what you sow. Let me give you a little background to the psalm before we read it. The context of this psalm is found in 2 Kings chapter 19, also in Isaiah chapter 37. There we read that Hezekiah was king of Judah. King Sennacherib and his Assyrian army had surrounded Jerusalem and had it under siege. Sometimes these sieges could last a couple of years. They would just starve the people out that were inside the city. The people would not be able to leave their walled city to go out and plant or harvest their crops. So Hezekiah prayed to God to deliver them from their enemy. God sent Isaiah with this message. We're going to look at this first in Isaiah 37, verses 30 and 31. Said, this shall be a sign unto thee. You shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, the second year that which springeth of the same, and the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. So that was the message that God gave to Hezekiah and the people of Israel. And somebody wrote this psalm at that time. If you want to stand with me to honor God's word, we're going to look at this short psalm, Psalm 126, and six verses here. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. This said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Happy harvesters, coming with rejoicing. You may be seated. In the time of Hezekiah, the siege is over, and they can now leave the city, go out into the fields to sow their seed and wait for the harvest. What I want to do this, I want to apply this thought to three areas in our lives. Areas where we should expect to sow and expect a harvest. If you want to take notes, first of all, I want to talk to you about sowing the Word of God. The Bible talks about the Word of God as being like seed, doesn't it? We take the Word of God, the seed, and we plant it in the hearts and minds of others. Now, they faced a dilemma back in Hezekiah's time. Should we eat the seed or should we sow it? Should we plant it? They went out to sow the precious seed in tears, but they were confident from God's message that they would reap a harvest of great joy. So think about this. First of all, His Word is precious. The Word of God is precious. You read in Matthew 13 where Jesus gave a parable of the sower sowing the seed. And in the parable, he said that some of the seed bore fruit, but others did not. Not all the seed that is sown will produce a harvest. Now, folks, there's nothing wrong with the seed. If you read that parable, it was the soil that was the problem. Some of the soil was rocky. Some had thorns and weeds that choked the seed that it could not bear fruit. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Amen. This is the Word of God. It's just as powerful today as it's ever been. Sow the seed. It will bear fruit. Now sometimes, not everybody you witness to is going to get saved. Again, it has nothing to do with the seed. It has to do with their heart. Some are just hard-hearted and will not allow the seed of God's Word to penetrate into their hearts and minds. So we ought to bear the seed. Take the seed and share it and sow it with others. Let's never quit sowing the seed. Doesn't matter what we're in the last days, people say, and people are just not getting saved. I don't buy that. I think the Word of God is still powerful, and if we will sow the seed, it will bear a harvest. It'll bear a harvest. Let's never quit sowing the seed of God's Word. God's way is a way of sowing and reaping. Folks, there will be no harvest time without a seed time. There's no way we can expect a harvest of souls if we're not sowing the seed and witnessing to those who do not know Christ. If we're not busy sharing the gospel message, don't be surprised if nobody gets saved. It shouldn't be a surprise. Soul-winning churches, folks, never die. Amen. Soul-winning churches never die. A lot of churches are dying. Around here, several churches have closed their doors because they can't get anybody to come. Nobody's getting saved and baptized. But folks, in soul-winning churches, they're constantly bringing in new converts. And the church will thrive. There will be a harvest. Not only is the Word precious, His Word has power. There's power in the Word of God. It's amazing how much power there is in the Scriptures. I read about one company had made some little New Testaments. They're very thin, small print. Usually on the binding, you'll put the Holy Bible or something. But the binding was so narrow, all they could do is squeeze in TNT. The New Testament. But there's also another TNT, isn't there? You know, this is like dynamite. But when it talks about the power of God's Word, the Greek word is dunamis. Dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite or dynamo. This is powerful, folks. We need to share it with others so the Spirit of God can work in their hearts and bring about a harvest where people come to know Christ as Savior. Romans 1:16 says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The Word of God's powerful. It can break hard hearts. Amen. Like a seed covered up by a slab of concrete can grow, eventually break that concrete up and come up through a crack. It's powerful. Let me share some stories with you. We're going to have story time this morning. I'll share several stories with you about examples of how the Word of God is powerful when it is used. I heard a testimony about a couple. They were gospel singers, but they were not always gospel singers. They once sang in nightclubs before they got saved. They had an engagement in a Florida club where they would sing at night. During the day, they would like to go out on the beach and enjoy the beach and the waves. One day, a crumpled piece of paper was blown by the wind to them. And they said, we picked it up and read it. It was a gospel tract. Now, they had not been raised in church. They'd really never heard the gospel. But they were curious. They went back to their hotel room with that gospel tract. They got their Gideon Bible out, Brother Mike. And they started looking up the scriptures in that tract. And God convicted them, and just by reading their Gideon Bible, reading that gospel tract, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said, we quit singing in nightclubs. We became gospel singers. We've been singing for Jesus ever since. Now, I thought about that. A crumpled up piece of gospel tract blew to them, and they picked it up and read it. I think, well, maybe a soul winner was out passing out tracts on the beach one day. He gave a tract to this gentleman who looked at it and cursed him and just threw it on the ground. But God reached down and began to blow on that tract. Blew it right up to that couple who was ready to be saved. I think God works that way, don't you? God in His providence can do many wonderful things like that. And here's a couple that was ready to receive the gospel. Their heart was tender, and they accepted Christ as their Savior. Now, folks, it's not our job to save people. That's God's job. God will do that. But God depends upon us to sow the seed so He can work. God promised Isaiah 55:11, "My word will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I desire." Another story. Somebody ever heard of Curtis Hudson? He was over the Sword of the Lord and a well-known Baptist preacher. I heard him tell this story once. He was witnessing to a man named Ralph. And Ralph said, "Well, I don't want to be saved." Brother Hudson said, "Well, let me tell you how, so I can do my job. It's my job to tell people how to be saved." Ralph said, "I don't want to be saved." Curtis Hudson said, "Well, you might want to get saved someday, and won't it be good to know how when that day comes?" He said, "Well, okay, but I don't want to be saved now." So Brother Hudson witnessed to him, shared the gospel. All through the gospel presentation, Ralph kept saying, "I don't want to get saved. I don't want to get saved." Brother Hudson finished his presentation. Ralph still insisted he didn't want to get saved. So Brother Hudson said, "Okay, before I go, can I pray with you? Would that be all right if I just prayed with you?" Ralph said, "Well, you can if you want to, but I'm not going to get saved. I'm not going to pray." So Brother Hudson prayed. He said, "Lord, I've told Ralph how to be saved, how you love him, how Jesus died for him. But Lord, he says he doesn't want to get saved. Lord, make Ralph want to get saved. Help him understand his need for Christ." And as he's praying, he hears Ralph sniffling. He says, "Ralph, did Jesus answer my prayer? Do you want to get saved now?" Ralph said, yes, I want to get saved now." And they prayed and accepted Christ as a Savior. And he'd often share his testimony. He said, "I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to get saved, but I got saved." Amen. Now, we got to be like Brother Hudson. We got to learn how to be bold and aggressive and persistent in sharing the gospel with others. Folks, we've got to quit being fearful and apologetic. Amen. If we're going to see a harvest of souls, we've got to be bold, filled with the Spirit. Let me share a story for you Sunday school teachers. Little girl had a daddy who was lost, but she went to church on a Sunday school bus. Her Sunday school teacher promised a class she would give a prize to everybody who could memorize the Roman road of salvation. How many of you understand what that is? Roman Road of Salvation. So she went home and told her daddy, said, "Daddy, help me memorize the Roman Road so I can win a prize." Well, he kind of doted on his little girl. He said, "Well, sure, honey, I'll help you." So they began to memorize scriptures. They memorized Romans 3:23. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." They memorized Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." They memorized Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." They memorized the verses in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Then verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. So they memorized it. Not only did the little girl memorize it, Daddy memorized it. Didn't mean to. But in helping her, those verses were stamped on his heart and mind. And the Holy Spirit began to convict him of those verses. He had memorized them, and he couldn't get them out of his head. Finally, he called the church and said, "Will somebody come over and explain this to me? I need to know what this is all about." And they came and shared with him the gospel, and he got saved. Doesn't God work in mysterious ways? He used that little girl to help her daddy understand the gospel. Hey, do you know the Roman road? That's a good method to use in sharing the gospel. You don't need your Bible, just memorize it and share it when you get a chance to witness. Thirdly, his word will produce. It's precious, it's powerful, and it will produce. You want to be a happy harvester? Then sow the seed of God's word. Shall we eat the seed or sow it? Well, both. We eat the seed, we eat God's word, we feed upon it. But don't stop there. Share it with others. Feed on it and sow God's word. We sing that old song, sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy eve. By and by the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Amen. We sing that, but do we practice it? How often do we sow the seed of God's word? Write these verses down. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What does that mean? You reap what you sow. You reap as much as you sow. Jesus said in Matthew 6:26, he said, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap." Folks, you can say that about some churches. They sow not, neither do they reap. That's true of a lot of churches. They go year by year by year, nobody getting saved, nobody getting baptized. There's a law of harvest. Folks, no sowing, no reaping. Little sowing, little reaping. Much sowing, much reaping. That's the law of harvest. It never fails. You reap what you sow. You know, one of the easiest ways to do this is just pass out gospel tracts. Do you do that? You have some gospel tracts that you can pass out when you meet people? I heard about a guy in Alabama who kind of got upset because people driving by would throw their booze bottles in his yard. He was a well-known Christian, had a great testimony, and people just out of spite would throw their booze bottles into his yard. And so he got upset about it, and he thought, "Well, Lord, what am I supposed to do with these?" So here's what he did. He would take those booze bottles, he would wash them out, he would put a gospel tract in it, cork it, and a little creek that ran by the back of his house, he would toss those bottles into the creek. It would go down to the gulf, that creek. And he would put his name and address on each gospel tract. Over the years, he got letters from everywhere. People finding that bottle, reading that tract, and letting him know. Some of them getting saved. Just by reading the tract. He got a letter from one across the ocean. A bottle that went down into the Gulf and crossed the ocean to Africa. Somebody found the bottle, read the tract, and wrote him and said, "I read this tract and trusted Christ as my Savior." Isn't that amazing? One found a bottle that had been buried for 20 years and read it. Now, folks, that's something anybody can do. Anybody can pass out a gospel tract and share the gospel in that way. Tim, we probably need to get some more gospel tracts and make sure we got plenty available. for you to use. I heard about one guy passing out gospel tracts in public restrooms. He would stick one under the stall door, say, "Here, read this while you're sitting there." There's nothing to read in a public restroom, is there? He's helping them out. Can you imagine Peter and Paul watching this from heaven? Peter says, "Hey, Paul, they got them trapped in stalls now. Why didn't we do that?" He said, "Well, we didn't have stalls back when we were there." What about a guy named Gary who bought an old pickup truck? He had it for a couple of years. One day he came to a sudden stop, and a gospel tract slid out from under the seat between his feet. He looked down and it said, "What must I do to be saved?" He read that tract and accepted Christ as a Savior. Now, who knows how long that tract has been behind the seat? The guy who owned the truck, somebody may have given him a gospel tract, and he just tossed it behind the seat without even looking at it. But God knew it was there. Years later, he made sure that tract slid out just in time for this man named Gary to read it and get saved. Amen. God works in mysterious ways. But he's looking for us to help in sowing the good seed. Here's a second thought. Not only should we sow the word of God, we should sow the wealth of God. We should be good stewards of God. I remind you again, you don't own anything. Everything you have belongs to God. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 with me. And beginning with verse number 6. This is what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Look at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God." Folks, everything belongs to God. What we're sowing belongs to God. Amen? We ought to be faithful stewards of what belongs to us. That's God's money in your pocket. That's God's car you drove to church in this morning. It all belongs to God. That's God's house you're living in. Amen. It belongs to God. You're just a steward taking care of what belongs to God. So be giving while you're living and be knowing where it's going. Amen. Here's what you ought to do today. Just pray, say, "Lord, what do you want me to do with all this stuff you've given me? It all belongs to you. Lord, what do you want me to do with it? You let me know. Do you want me supporting missionaries? Don't you think that's a good investment?" Now, if you wonder whether God is for missions, let me remind you this. He's got one son, and he made him a missionary. Amen? Jesus left his home in heaven. He came to earth as a missionary to proclaim the word of God, that souls might be saved. I would thank God's permission, wouldn't you? I think God would want us to use our wealth to support mission works. Be giving while you're living and be knowing where it's going. You know, Betty and I, we're trying to arrange it that our money and our time on earth run out at the same time. Folks, we're running out of time. Our time here is running short. We might even be on borrowed time. I don't know. It's looking rough. Consider the owner of wealth. God owns it all. And then consider the opportunity of wealth. The opportunities we have. God doesn't give you wealth to sit on it. God doesn't give it to you to squander. He gives it that you might invest it in worthy causes. Sow it. Put it to work for the cause of Christ. Putting it in the Lord's work is the best investment you can make. You know, when I'm dead and gone, I want to have some things that I help build, that I help pay for, still being used of God to win souls. Amen. Heard about an old man who inherited $1 million. He had a heart problem, weak heart, and they were kind of afraid to tell him that he might just have a heart attack or something. So they asked his pastor, so would you go and tell Grandpa the news that he's now a millionaire? So the pastor went and was sitting on the porch talking with this man. And after a while, he said, Bob, heard about a guy who inherited $1 million. He said, Bob, what would you do if you inherited $1 million? He said, well, preacher, I don't need money at my age. I would give it all to the church. And the preacher dropped dead with a heart attack. He said, Brother West, if I had $1 million, I'd give a lot of it to the church. You ever notice how generous we are with what we don't have? And how stingy we are with what we do have? Amen. What are you doing with what God has given you? That God has placed into your care. Are you sowing it? Some say you ought to give till it hurts. I don't agree with that. God loves a cheerful giver. I think you ought to give till it feels good. If giving 10% doesn't feel good, try giving 15%. If that doesn't feel good, try giving 20%. After a while, you're going to start feeling good on purpose. Amen. Now, I brought this message because we're in Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. I think God wants us to invest in missions. I really do. I think that's a good place to sow your wealth. As I said earlier, we only received 29 cards, totaling half of what we received last year. Last year we had 70 cards turned in. Allowed us to support 70 mission fields. Now, if no other cards are turned in, we're going to have to drop half our missionaries. I don't want to do that, do you? I don't want to drop half our mission. I think God's blessed this church because we're so mission-minded. Because of your giving to missions, God blesses this church. He'll continue to do so, I believe. So again, just ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to sow some of your money into mission works? Lord, how much do you want me to give to missionaries? Now, if you're not sure whether God's permission is, remember his son was a missionary. I believe God has a great heart for mission work. He said to the church in John 20:21, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me as a missionary, so send I you. He's about to ascend back to heaven. He's commissioning his church to go into all the world. Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, that's our marching orders. That's what we're all about. We need to be supporting missionaries all around the world. Now listen, if you don't support missionaries, you're not obeying the Great Commission. Amen. You're not helping send the gospel around the world if you don't support missionaries. You are disobeying the Great Commission. And that's not a good place to be. We need to be supporting the preaching of God's word around the world. The third thought I want to share with you quickly is not only sowing the word of God and the wealth of God, but sowing the works of God. Sowing the works of God. Listen to Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now he says, we can sow sinful works of the flesh, or we can sow righteous works of the Spirit. For some, like Hosea 8:7, they've sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. That's what a lot of people are sowing, and they're going to reap. You reap what you sow. What happens when you sow bitter, harsh words? They often come back to you, don't they? People respond in like manner. It's like the man, he's trying to aggravate his wife at the dinner table. He stuck his fork in a piece of pork. He held it up and said, is this pig on the end of this fork? She said, to which end of the fork are you referring to, honey? Folks, when we sin, we can expect a harvest of what we sow. If you sow bitter seed, you're going to reap a bitter harvest. Right? You're going to reap what you sow. You cannot sow hate and reap love. You cannot sow vengeance and reap mercy. You cannot sow wrath and reap forgiveness. You cannot sow selfishness and reap generosity. Amen? You're going to reap what you sow. Be careful. Always sow good words and good works. Let us do good unto all men, whereby we can reap God's blessings. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, he said, given and shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. So, Brother West, the Bible's just full of this, isn't it? Sure is. Over and over again, we see this principle. You reap what you sow. Not just limited to money. It's limited to how you use your time. How you treat others. It all's going to come back to you. You know, David reaped evil for sowing to the flesh. We read about Bathsheba and Uriah. But you know what? David also reaped many blessings. Because although he sowed to the flesh at times, most of the time he sowed to the Spirit. He was a man after God's own heart. But because he sowed bad seed, he had to reap a bad harvest. The same is true with us. If you want to reap a harvest of blessings, folks, implement God's plan of sowing and reaping. Sow the good seed. You know, it's strange. Some people live a very sinful lifestyle, a life of unfaithfulness, a life of profanity, indecency, idolatry, immorality, living a life of fornication. I had a young man come to me the other day. He's living with his girlfriend, living in fornication. He wanted me to pray for him to get a job he had applied for. And I thought to myself, now how can I pray? Do I pray, God, just forget everything this man's doing, his sinful lifestyle, and bless him anyway? I don't think it's going to work. God doesn't underwrite sin. Amen? God's not going to bless your sinful life. Sow good seed that God can bless, whereby you can reap a harvest. Are you sowing the word of God? Are you sowing the wealth of God? Are you sowing the good works of God? Letting your light shine day by day to the glory of our Savior. Sow these seeds, and you will come rejoicing. Especially when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be able to rejoice when God said, when the Lord says to you, "Well done, good and faithful steward. You were faithful in little. I'll give you much blessing. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." Let's stand together as we prepare for a hymn of invitation. Lost friend, will you let the seed of God's word penetrate your heart today? Is your heart like good, productive soil that will allow the gospel seed to penetrate and do its job? Or is your heart hard and rocky? Some will not listen to God when He speaks to them. They harden their heart. Don't do that today. If you die without God, if you die without Christ, you die without hope. Come to Christ today. Let Him save your soul. You can sow faith in Jesus Christ and reap everlasting life.